I've always been a bit bothered by this morning's gospel. I can understand transformation when one thing gets changed into another, and in the spiritual life we constantly seek to be transformed into the Christ-like beings that we were created to be. But transfiguration has seemed fairly pointless to me. Why would God go to the trouble of changing Jesus' appearance for a brief time with only three witnesses who were later sworn to secrecy? This year it seems to make a bit more sense to me. I don't know whether Jesus knew what was going to happen when he headed off with three disciples, or whether it was his normal practice to go away for prayer and sometimes to take a few of his companions with him. But for whatever reason, on this particular occasion, Jesus had an experience of himself as the cosmic Christ. And it gives us a reminder that the reign of God is right here, right now. That shift of perception that happened on that mountaintop is a shift of perception that we too can make at any time. Because while we are going about our daily lives, doing the things that need to be done, there is a bigger and much more glorious drama unfolding. There is a parallel universe, the universe of the reign of God. And it is both here among us and on the other side of the veil of knowing. Most of that time, we are oblivious to that other reality. But from time to time, we get glimpses. For many of us, those glimpses come in nature, in an exceptionally beautiful sunset, or in the unfolding wings of a newly transformed butterfly. At other times, something synchronistic occurs, and we wonder, was that a coincidence, or could it have been a God moment? Did it really happen? The more we train ourselves to notice and be grateful for the moments when the reign of God breaks through, the more they happen. And when they do, we too can know the unconditional love of God. In those special moments, it is as if God is saying to us personally, just as he did in the cloud, you are my beloved child. I had a moment like that this morning. Despite my best intentions, I was late. It takes from 5 to 7 minutes to get here from my home. And it was 2 minutes before 8 when I got in the car to get here for the 8 o'clock service. I was hurried, flustered, and annoyed with myself and the world. As I turned the key in the ignition, the radio came on to the Bach Collegium from Japan singing the Hallelujah Chorus. My day was transfigured. The change of perception from the mundane to the glory of God is one which we can practice in our prayer lives. We can turn our inner eye to the glory of God and lose ourselves in praise and worship. As I said last week when I talked about the prayer of ascent, this kind of prayer is not about us, it's about God. It trains us to see the glory of God shining through our lives and surrounding us with love. Brother Lawrence, who was a 17th century Carmelite monk, practiced finding God in everything he did, especially in the kitchen where he worked. His writings and conversations were recorded in a small book, Practicing the Presence of God. Brother Lawrence wrote that in order to form a habit of conversing with God continually and referring all we do to him, we must at first apply to him with some diligence, but that after a little care, we should find his love inwardly excite us to it without any difficulty. How differently would we view our work and the activities of daily life if we saw them as an opportunity to practice the presence of God, and if indeed we found God's love inwardly exciting us to it? This practice of seeing God and God's reign takes conscious effort, and yet the Holy Spirit is always willing to work with us to change our sight. We know that God's purpose, God's great work, is to bring all things into reconciliation with God's self. And we know that we are part of it. So the way we do everything that we do becomes important. When we act as if God's reign is here and now, it is. When we act with unconditional love, we are demonstrating the reign of God in our world, we are straddling the two worlds. Now, why did Jesus tell the disciples not to tell anyone? I don't know. But I know that when something very special happens, something intimate or intense, we don't always want to talk about it. We want to hold it close to ourselves and savor it. There is a paradox here. In order to increase our awareness of God's activity in our lives, it is really helpful to talk about what we see and the inklings that we have of God's presence. By talking about it, we focus on those moments and help ourselves to become more aware of them. But by over-talking, we can dissipate the energy of our connection with the divine. I'm sure the disciples wanted to talk about everything that had happened. We saw Elijah. We saw Moses. We heard a voice out of a cloud. And you'll never believe what Peter said. But Jesus asked them not to. Perhaps he needed time to work out what it was all about for himself. He didn't want their excitement to get in the way of his process. And really, it was his news to tell, not theirs. This can be challenging in faith community. For example, I'm not sure whether something you tell me is confidential to me, or whether in telling me you thought you had told the prayer chain and or the parish council. It is important for us to share with one another our concerns and difficulties as well as our God moments. But it's also important that we keep those communications as sacred, not things to be broadcast to all and sundry. And that's part of our participation in the reign of God, understanding that some things are precious and sacred and need to be held close to the heart. It is acknowledging the Christ in one another when we hold our shared experiences and our shared thoughts in a sacred trust, especially our mountaintop and our valley deep experiences. Yet the more we use our own transfiguration lens to see the glory of God and the purpose of God shining through the darkness of our world, the more those around us will see it too, whether or not we talk about it. These are difficult times for us as a nation. The difficulty is constantly amplified by the media, which looks for conflict and stress to keep our attention. But we have the opportunity to change our own perception, to see God at work here, to see the glory of God shining out of the darkness. Because God's glory is there, is always there, just behind the veil, waiting for us to see it. I'm going to close with a poem by Gerard Manley Hopkins. The world is charged with the grandeur of God. It will flame out like shining from shook foil. It gathers to a greatness like the ooze of oil crushed. Why do men then now not wreck his rod? Generations have trod. And all is seared with trade, bleared, smeared with toil, and wears man's smudge and shares man's smell. The soil is bare now, nor can foot feel being shod. And for all this, nature is never spent. There lives the dearest freshness deep down things. And though the last lights of the black west went, oh, morning at the brown brink eastward springs, because the Holy Ghost over the bent world broods with warm breast and with, bright wings.